to the book of Judges, chapter 9. Judges, chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 to 21 for our text this morning for the sermon. It's a long chapter. Lord willing, the rest of the chapter next week, and we'll even look at a couple places in it today. We're looking at Judges chapter 9, verses 1 to 21. Under the theme, who are you listening to? And I am listening to somebody. You are listening to somebody, and maybe not just one voice. It's a very important question. Who are you listening to for faith and for life? To know who God are and how you are to live before Him. Who are you listening to? Well, the Lord speaks to us now through His Word. Listen to Him now through His holy and inspired Word. Judges chapter 9, verses 1 to 21. Then Abimelech and Baal went to Shechem with his brothers and spoke to them. Please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. Better for you that all seven reign over you, or that one. Remember that I am your own flesh and blood, flesh and bone. And as much as these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, and their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech and they followed him. Then he went to his father and killed one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left because he hid himself. And all together, all and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Now when they took he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out, and he said to them, and folks, this is the key verse of the passage. Listen to me, you men of Shechem. The God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. This is where he starts this fable. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I with which they honor God and men and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the fig tree, you come. But the fig tree said to them, should I buy good fruit and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine which cheers both God and men and go to sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. That's the end of the fable. Now an explanation. Verse 16. Now therefore, if you have in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt and have done to him as he deserves, for my risked his life and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech the son of his female servant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice But if not, let fire come the men of Shechem and Beth Millo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Be'er and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. Let us pray and ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Father God in heaven, thanks again, Lord, for this great and wonderful gift of Your Word. And, oh Lord, how we do need it. How we do need to be reminded to listen to You. Help us, Lord, now to do that very thing. To listen to Your words, that You may hear us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in the story of Gideon for several weeks now. And at his death, you may have thought, okay, good, we're moving out of Gideon and moving into something else. But just like somebody dies doesn't mean that their impact on people dies with them. It doesn't mean the story of their life. Some of you are here with parents who have passed on to be with the Lord, and yet their impact on this world is still happening because of you, because of what's going on in your life. And that will be the case with all of us at one point or another. The impact on people doesn't end with your death. And we see this in all kinds of ways. Sometimes because of how you have raised your children, that the impact of what you have done goes on. It will be that way. It is that things that people have built, even though they have passed on, we still are using those things, or inventions they may have come to create, or things they have discovered in this world. And the technology of that thing they've discovered keeps going on and keeps impacting the people of this world. And I just think of one, and we could talk about many, but in 1880, Heinrich Hertz discovered radio waves. If we took time to sit down and think about all the ways that we use radio waves in our world today, you would be amazed. He lived in the 1880s, but what he did is still having an impact on the world. And while Gideon's life has ended, as we come to chapter 9, the impact of his life has not ended. Gideon was used by God. His faith was weak at times, and we have highlighted that, which goes to show us it is not the man, but the God. It is God's deliverance. But he did use Gideon to deliver Israel. Weaknesses in Gideon. And one of those things was that Gideon, while he did not want to be king, he pretended to be king. And he acted. We see that one of the things that he did was that he had a concubine, like kings do. And by that concubine, he had a child. And this child would go on to affect the nation of Israel, and would be our, even affecting us as our discussion today. Now, this concubine was not something that Gideon had kept secret. It was well known, and it was not uncommon for people of wealth to have concubines. And so a concubine is a secondary wife, so to speak. It wasn't a secret relationship, but one that was openly known. And the Bible has kinds of relationships. He certainly does not. But it doesn't mean they weren't prevalent among God's people at certain times. We can look back and see that Abraham had a second wife named Keturah. David had second wives, and Solomon had wives and concubines that numbered in the hundreds. What we see about this behavior, though, with these concubines, is that they often turned these people's hearts away from God to serving idols. And so this behavior was not one of one who was listening to God, for God's Word tells us different. Even though they may rap, having a concubine, Gideon was not listening to the Lord and taking a concubine, because therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. But Gideon did have concubines. And he had a child by a concubine. And this child was named Abimelech. Gideon also had children according and with his wife. The scripture tells us he had 70 of them here. And one of them was named Jotham. And so between Abimelech and Jotham, we see the impact still going on of Gideon's life. And particularly we see these two children calling out to the people of God, calling them to do one thing or another, calling them to foolishness or to listen to God and be faithful. And so who are you listening to? In your life today, who are you listening to? And it will be very easy for us as Christians to say, well, I'm listening to God, I'm listening to the Word, I'm listening to the Lord Jesus, I have my Bible reading, I have my family worship, I come to church, I hear the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word. And that's all great, and that's exactly what you should be doing. But we as Christians are also being constantly challenged to listen to other voices in the world, to listen to other people, to listen to other philosophies, to listen to other so-called scriptures, to listen to even our own hearts, as if our hearts are a well of truth. So I ask you, Christian, today, who are you listening to? The world says, do marriage a different way. The world says, raise your children according to the world's standards. Educate your children in pagan beliefs. The world calls us to do all kinds of things that go against the voice of the Lord. And the bottom line of these challenges, of all these voices, comes down to this, to our faith. The challenges to our faith, it often comes down to us making a decision, not which voice is right or wrong, but which one's convenient. Which one will be easier to follow today without thinking of the impact that it will have on our future or the future of others? And quite frankly, sometimes it is more convenient to follow the world for a moment. To not stand for Jesus Christ when it might cost us friends or a job or convenience. But when we listen to the world, we're going to be listening to folly, to foolishness. And when we listen to the Lord, we're going to be listening to perfectness and blamelessness and faithfulness. This son of the Lord, this one named Jotham, his name means blamelessness. And it is he who is speaking for the Lord. And so in Judges chapter 1, we are going to see two calls to the people of Israel. And they reflect the calls that come. The first foolishness, and we see that in verses 1 to 6. There is a call to follow foolishness. The second call is a call to follow faithfulness, or a call to this in verses 7 to 21. You have these two sons, each calling out to the people of Israel and saying, do this, follow me, listen to me. And the first, as I said, the first call is the call to follow foolishness. In verses 1 to 6. Recall that, as I mentioned, that Abimelech was the son of Gideon through a concubine of his. Remember last week we talked about the name Abimelech means father king, my king, my father is king. Though he wasn't king, though he pretended Gideon did. And while we noted that, that was part of his pretending, a part of being something that he wasn't. But his son Abimelech has no problem seeking to become king. He did not hide. He conspired to do it with his family members. He had a plan. It was something he desired. In verses 1 and 2, we're told he conspired with his mother brothers and with all the family of his mother's father to go and speak to all the men of Shechem. He's speaking of the heads of families and the leaders, the masters and lords in that. You notice what he says, though, to them. He doesn't say to them, tell these people I will rule according to God's word. He doesn't say to them, tell them I will be a good king, I'm strong in character, I'll take care of them. He does not his character. He simply appealed to them on the advantage and the convenience and the help. He was king. Because I'm of your flesh and bone. And it would be better for him to be king than to have and be one ruler rather than have 70 sons of Gideon ruling over them. And while there was no indication that these 70 sons of Gideon were seeking to rule, Abimelech sets this up as an under. And these rulers, these 70, wouldn't be of their flesh and bone like he was, men of Shechem. So as he appealed to them on the basis of their familial relationship, he was a man of Shechem, they were men of Shechem, it would be an advantage to them if he became king. I like this phrase here and their response in verse 3, the last four words, as they responded to these words that the brothers and the family of his mother were giving to them. It is like they said, well, he is our brother. What an advantage this will be to us. And what a difference if these other 70 were ruling over us. And we know, according to chapter 8, verse 35, that the people of Gideon and his family with ill will. So this was not a hard sell for Abimelech to make, that he would be king. And he was not just seeking to be king for greed and power, but he was seeking to have people follow him rather than follow the Lord. To follow him rather than to follow Gideon, whom the Lord had used, now passed away, but whom the Lord had used to deliver his people. He was calling them in their rebellious state to continue to go in the path of rebellion against God. They were already worshiping the Baals again, as chapter 8, verse 33 tells us, after Gideon died, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. They listened to one who was not following the Lord. He is our brother. It's to our advantage. It'll be convenient for us. This will put us at the front of the line amongst all the people of Israel because we have a relative on the throne. Notice what is said in verse 3 about these men of Shechem. His mother's brother spoke all these words concerning him, Abimelech, in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. Their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech. In their own heart, they had become convinced that to follow this man was best for them. He is our brother. It will go well for us. And so they made him king for their own well-being, for their own sake, and for their own position of Israel. And the scripture tells us here that it was their heart that inclined them to do this. You know, that's a call to us today in this world. To follow your heart. I just did a little Google internet search and found all kinds of poetry, all kinds of movies, all kinds of songs. Even, you can see them here in our town, even billboards, advertising campaigns that use this philosophy. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. And why would people say that? There is a premise under that statement. An understanding that they have. One, that your heart is good. Two, that your heart will never pray. And three, that your heart is wise and has good information for you. And yet the Bible teaches us that it is in our heart where the problem is. Jeremiah chapter 17 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's the human heart. Deceitfully wicked. Not able to be trusted. In Jeremiah 17, same passage in verses 7 to 8, just before that, here's what the Lord says. Blessed is the man. This is in contrast to the heart. Blessed is the Lord. Not his own heart. For he shall be like which spreads out not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The condition of these men of Shechem, of their hearts, is revealed in that they went to the temple of their father to get money which they had given to the temple worship. And why did they do that? They knew that when Abimelech said, "Put me as king," he would have to remove all other supposed threats to his kingship and to them following him. And so they went and they got many shekels to give to Abimelech so that he may hire worthless and reckless and useless men to go and kill his brothers. Listening to the inclinations of your heart in opposition to the Lord Himself brings evil and destruction. They followed Abimelech in his evil plans because they were following the dictates of their heart. And I want to say to you, Christian people today, we are not to follow the dictates of our heart. We are to listen to the voice of the Lord. That sometimes will be in direct opposition to how you feel, how you have been influenced, or how others will be calling out to you and saying to you, just go and to your heart be what? Be true. That is how people think and how they operate when they're operating outside of listening to the Lord. But I would also say this to you. The evil heart of man does not do away with the grace of God. You see here in verse 5, in the midst of this murderous act of Abimelech, how they went and captured Baal. And when it says the 70 sons, it's just talking about a group, because we see here that one of them got away. And in that one getting away, God providentially sparing this one son from the murderous Abimelech, God would use this son by His grace to speak to these men who were following evil, who were following the dictates of their heart. He would use this one son to call them to repentance, so that God may receive them back. The men of Shechem made Abimelech king when all the other threats and all the other voices of God were supposedly eliminated. They made him king at the terebinth tree. And this should not be lost on us. These words, the terebinth tree, the pillar that was in Shechem, should bring back to our memories something that has gone on before in this place, which has a spiritual significance. It was a place where people were listening to God. Abraham built an altar to the Lord in this same place when God promised him he would give him the blessings of the covenant. Abraham was there at this same place and listening to the Lord. It was 12 verses 4 to 7. It was the place where Jacob, on his way to that promised land that God had promised to his father Abraham. It was there in Genesis 33 verses 18 to 20 that he also built an altar in Shechem. And Joshua, not too long ago, we were in the book of Joshua, where Joshua, Israel, in Shechem, by the oak tree, once they were in that land that God had promised them. These people, in this same place, were listening to God, not to the dictates of their heart. Now you have people in this same spiritually significant place who are not listening to the voice of the Lord. They're listening to the voice of evil. Listening to those who are following false gods. Listening to where God had made a covenant once before. Now they were worshiping this God called Baal of Berith, which means Baal of the covenant. They were flipping everything upside down. And they had turned away from the true God of the true covenant and made a covenant with a false God. Because they were listening to folly. And turning away from God and turning away from listening to Him always leads to evil. It always does. It ultimately will take you there. But in the midst of all this evil, God is still gracious. Even though they had made this covenant with this false God, even though they had taken money from that temple, even though they had killed these sons of Gideon, God was still working and warning them to return to the Lord God. In verse 5, we're told here that Jotham, Gideon's youngest son, hid himself from Abimelech, but it would be this son that God would use to call Israel to faithfulness. And that's what we see in verses 7 to 21. God uses Jotham to make a call to faithfulness. He uses the youngest son to warn them of their folly. And Jotham watched in the midst of this murderous act, but he came out and called him to call Israel to faithfulness. And after Abimelech was made king, Jotham came out to them saying, and this is that key verse, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." In these words, Jotham is not just saying, "Hear my words," but he's telling them to come back to the true God. Hear Him, that He may hear you. Communication, speaking, praying, worship, all these things are part of this. Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Because if they would listen to the voice of Jotham, of what he's about, and repent and turn to God for His forgiveness. And as we have already sung in the Scripture, and as it is said here today, He will hear you. God will hear those who listen to Him. God will hear those who listen to Him, hear His words, take them into their hearts, and apply them to their lives, and repent of their sin, and call on Him for forgiveness, and call on Him to work in their life. God will hear that person. That's why we're here today, sitting here. Because we believe that God hears us when we pray. We believe that God hears us when we worship, when we sing His praises. Because we are listening to Him by faith. And this is a call to faithfulness. And so as we have mentioned, Jotham uses a fable to make this call to the men of Shechem. A fable, children, you may know, is a story that uses inanimate objects and personifies characteristics in order to communicate a moral truth. And it differs in that from a parable such as the ones Jesus taught and used, where Jesus used people doing things people do. But here in this fable, we have inanimate objects like trees and vines doing things that people do. So this is a fable. But just because it's a fable doesn't mean that it doesn't have a very powerful message. Because the message from this fable is a call to turn back to faithfulness in listening to God. And the question we must ask ourselves today, is there any area in my life where I am listening to the world or listening to the dictates of my heart and I am not listening to the voice of God? Well, this fable casts the men of Shechem as trees, searching amongst other trees for one tree who would rule over them. And so they asked three different types of trees, two trees and a grapevine, to rule over them. And each of these trees rejected their request because of their own callings to the faithfulness they were already doing. They were content to do what God had made them to do and what God had called them to produce. For these trees to be a king over unfaithful men would have meant to abandon God's purpose for them. As we look at this fable, we see first the olive tree had the high purpose of producing oil for God and men. For God, ceremonies for anointing priests and burning lamps in God's temple worship. For men, it was used to cook with, to light, and softened leather, all kinds of purposes. And the olive tree served both God and men rather than over others who were not faithful. The fig tree, in like manner, saw its role as a fig producer to be one that provided sweetness to men. And the fig fruit was used to make cakes, to sweeten otherwise less tasty food, and to even make fig wine. And the fig tree considered this role of enhancing man's life greater than ruling over men. The fig tree sought to be faithful to what God had called it to do. So likewise, the vine too considered this request to be ridiculous. Look at verse 13, 12 and 13. Then the tree said to the vine, "You can." The vine said to them, "Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and go to sway over trees?" Each one of these answers were basically telling these men, "Do you see the ridiculousness of your request to call us to come away from being faithful to what God has called us to do, to see the blessings of how God is using us, that we might be ruling over you?" But there was that was willing to take this request. And we see this in verse 14. Having been rejected by the others, then all the trees said to the bramble, "You come and reign over us." And the bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Well, the bramble was a thorn bush. It would have thorns about 1 to 2 inches long on it. And it wasn't a tree like a big tall tree. It was a bushy top. With these prickly thorns, it was not like Abimelech. In Joseph's fable here, he was telling them they had turned away from God's goodness, and now they were turning to this thorny bush. Notice something about what the bush says, what the bramble says to the trees. The bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade." A bramble cannot give shelter to trees. A bramble cannot give shade to trees. And so what's happening here is a false promise. Sure, I'll rule over you, and look what I'll give you. The bramble was revealing to them, he knew what they were up to. He knew there would be a time when they would not submit to its rule over them. And that's what we're going to see is going to happen in the later verses. He's not able to give them shelter or shade, even though he promised it to him. And that is the promises of our heart and the promises of this world. They are not able to produce and give to us what they claim. Your heart is not able to deliver you. The world in its philosophies and false voices is not able to deliver you and give you shade and shelter. And neither could the bramble bush. But like evil, like turning away from the Lord and seeking to do our own ways, doing what we think is right in our own hearts and our own eyes, evil does not deliver on its promises. Not listening to the Lord will always bring pain and harm and death. Well, in verses 16 to 20, Jotham interprets the fable for them and tells them what is going to happen. In verse 16, he begins to interrogate the men of Shechem for Gideon and his family, which he knows and they know they have treated him wickedly. In verses 17 to 18, he rehearses to them what God did through Gideon, how Gideon gave his life for them, how he worked and the Lord used him to deliver them out of the hand of Midian. But they rose up against him, killed him, or against his house rather, and killed his sons on one stone. That idea of the one stone is speaking. This murderous act was probably going out to capture those men and bringing them one at a time and sacrificing them on the stone, possibly even in worship to Baal. In verse 19 he says, though, but if you can say genuinely that you have acted right towards God, then rejoice. And this is not really a question. He's not really asking them to look into their hearts and see if they could really say they had done what is right. It was a statement of condemnation or curse for them to realize what they had done. It was a gracious warning from the Lord that they had not heard of them. They had turned away from worshiping God. They had turned away from God's leadership and judge and that which God had provided for them. This warning, as warnings in our life, as signs of discipline in our life, are a work of God's grace to warn us of the consequences of our wicked sins, of our wicked evil acts, and to warn them of the impending discipline and punishment that was coming to them because they had turned away from the Lord. Now, how do we know that what Jotham was saying, that this fable and his that he was speaking for the Lord, that they should have listened to him as he said in verse 7, when he said, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." Jotham was not speaking on his own. He had been sent there by God. And if you turn to verse 57 of Judges 9, or let's start with verse 56. Thus God, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers, and all God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. The men of Shechem and Abimelech would go on to destroy each other, which is what the fable told them would happen. Because they had listened to their own hearts, they had listened to folly. And when we turn away from listening to the voice of the Lord and turn to the voice of sin and foolishness, we should expect nothing less but evil to follow. The question is, do we believe that? Or do we believe, I can do some of these things and there won't be any consequences? And yet the Scripture tells us God is not mocked. What a man sows, that he shall also reap. And this is the case for the men of Shechem and Abimelech. They did reject the Lord and His Deliverer. They heard the call to follow foolishness and wickedness. They listened to the call of their own hearts for their own convenience. But they did not listen to the call of God to be faithful to Him. So it is with us today. This is not just a historical lesson for us to look at. It is a lesson for us to learn to listen to the Lord, and He will listen to us. It is a lesson for us to learn not to live according to convenience or to the dictates of our own heart, but to listen to the Lord, to hear His voice. Hebrews 10, verse 28 and 29 reminds us of those who, like Abimelech and the men of Shechem, how they end up when they don't listen to God's voice, saying, "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Worthy of punishment for not listening to the Lord. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them." Jesus was telling the people of His day, one of the manifestations of you believing in me and trusting in me and being my sheep is that you will follow me. You will follow me. You will hear my voice, and you will follow me. And so I want to lay it out before you today and ask you, are there areas, and our answer of this should be yes, are there areas that you are following and listening to foolishness rather than hearing the word of the Lord? Are there areas of your life like that? Look back to those trees and see how they were faithful to what God had made them, and faithful to the place where God had put them, and satisfied with how God was using them in their place and position and the call upon their life to do certain things. And we are all in different places and different positions in our life. Some of you are children with parents over you. Some of you are husbands and wives in that kind of relationship. Some of you are working for others. All kinds of different situations that you find yourself in that the world would call out to you and say, this is how you are to do those kinds of things, which in opposition to God's Word will lead to evil. Following your heart rather than the voice of the Lord, following the dictates of this world or the philosophies of this world, will bring evil into your life, into your family's life, into your workplace. The question is whether or not that really matters to us, or whether we really believe it. But there is hope, just as there was for the men of Shechem. There is hope, because the Lord calls us, even today, as Christians today, to turn away from the idolatry of self and following foolishness, and to hear His call to follow Him. To listen to the voice of Him calling us away from sin and our deceitful hearts, and to listen to the voice of Christ, and to follow Him. And you know what happens when you do that? Verse 7 tells us, the Lord will hear you. He will answer your call for deliverance. He will answer your call for salvation. He will answer your call for forgiveness. He will answer your call for guidance in your life if you will but hear Him. So whatever position you are in, children, young people, wives, husbands, single people, wherever the Lord has you, He calls you to listen to Him and to put to practice what He says in that place where you are in your life. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us this. For the his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He had two sons here, Abimelech and Jotham. One was calling out to pursue foolishness, and one was calling us to be faithful. And the Lord says, listen to me, and I will hear you. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. Identify those voices that are speaking to you from wherever they may come, even from your own heart. Identify them as foolish and follow the Lord. May the Lord help us to do so. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, help us to not only hear You, but to believe You. For to not to believe what You say is not to listen. Oh, Lord, how we need this help. How we need this help to identify these other voices, these other calls to foolishness, even from our own heart, and to follow the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. How we do plead, Lord, for Your Spirit to help us in these things.